The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Now, my next guest has put together a book celebrating stories from the heart of rural Ireland. In 2018, his book, Time to Talk, became a bestseller as he shared tales from his childhood in Kerry and introduced us to colourful characters that he'd encountered along the way. His new book is neither political nor memoir, but returns to those tales from a forgotten Ireland. Independent TD for Kerry, Michael Healy-Ray, is author of a book called A Listening Ear, and Michael is with me now. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Pat, for having me on your show.
Now, before we talk about the book, I have to talk about Fobgate.
Yes.
And your account of what actually happened.
Well, could we put it this way? My non-involvement in any of the events that I was accused of. Because, just to be very clear, people in the media circles put out information saying that for certain they were positive of certain facts. Unfortunately, their facts, well, should I say, unfortunately for them and fortunately for me, their facts were wrong. Others then re-said that incorrect information, which led to a situation that one day, for example, I was driving along in my car and I was listening to five or six different shows talking about me and saying things that were absolutely factually incorrect and were untrue. Mm-hmm. And I had to listen to that. Until such time as people got their act together, realised, oh, big blunder here, we're after making a mistake. They had actually said things as if it was true that was not true.
Okay.
And then they retracted it.
But on the day in question, you started your day in Dublin.
But you see, Pat, if you want to talk about the way I operate, right, at 12:30 last night, I was inside in a house in Coolay. And then maybe around 4:00 this morning, I was here in Dublin. And before being with you, I gave maybe a good hour or hour and a half inside my office before coming out here to you. And at 12:00 tonight, I will be still inside my office. So what a pile of people in the media don't understand is I don't burn it from one end. I burn it from the two ends, right? Now, on the famous night in question, it was assumed that because I did a Skype interview, that I had done the Skype interview from County Kerry. Well, a wrong assumption. I was here in Dublin when I did the Skype interview. And yes, the following day, I was in Dublin. And at the same time, I made not a funeral. I made a burial. I was late for the church. And I had crossed the country, right? But like, I come to Dublin often, twice in the one day. Now, you would have to stop and think about that. In other words, I can leave Kerry very early on a Tuesday morning. I usually meet with people early on Tuesday mornings, and you have the order of business and topical issues that would be on in the dial. I might leave and go back to Kerry on a Tuesday and come back up again to Dublin late on Tuesday night. So in other words, it's no notice to come to Dublin.
I should say your carbon footprint is a disgrace, Michael Healy-Ray.
Well, yes, that is, and I'd say if I am to be accused of anything, maybe I can be accused of that, but of nothing else.
But the idea is that you fobbed in at the crack of dawn, whatever, as soon as you're able to fob in, and yes, then you departed. And people would say, well, look, hang on a second, the reason you fob in, you get a payment for being in Dublin and enjoying, yes, you know, paying for your lunch in Dublin, your, yes, taxis, whatever you need in Dublin. And if you weren't there to do that, well, like if I was a machine operator making widgets,
yes,
and I check in, if I'm not at the machine making widgets, I should not get paid.
But you see, unfortunately, again, a completely wrong assumption, because you have to, as you call it, fob in 120 days in the year. I never fob in 120 days in the year. I always am in the dial a lot more than 120 days. So on the day in question, it didn't make one blind bit of difference whether I fobbed in or fobbed out, or if I didn't fob at all, because I would have more than 120 days during the year anyway. So I'm entitled to the full allowance anyway, because I'm here more than the 120 days. So again, the media making wrong assumptions.
See, presumably they thought this guy was fobbed in, but he wasn't here. He was
exactly
in Kerry.
Oh, yes, of course.
So therefore, someone fobbed in on his behalf.
And of course, and you see, the real nub of all this problem is Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, all the rest of them were voting for each other. Now, people in the media circles were of this wrong assumption again that the Healy-Ray brothers were voting for each other.
Well, I asked you that specific question the last time you were on, and you said that Danny and yourself,
yes,
don't even sit together.
And I quoted you on many occasions during this debate, and I said, well, at least Pat Kinney asked me the question out straight. He said, did you ever vote for your brother, or did your brother ever vote for you? And I gave you the answer, absolutely not. And I'd go so far as saying it to you again, if it ever happened, and if it had happened once, straight up looking you in the eye, I'd say, oh God, yeah, do you know, we did it there one time, all right, I can remember it. But I can tell you, because we didn't do it. Now, what broke a lot of people's hearts in the media was they went blind looking at videos, trying to see, oh, did they hear or did they there? And they couldn't. So they were able to nail Fianna Fáil, they were able to nail Fine Gael and many others, ministers and all. But the one, two people they couldn't get doing it was myself and my brother. So what did they do then? They went after another non-story. And about the rules then, about fobbing in or fobbing out. If the Houses of the Oireachtas want to change the rules, and if they want to make it that a person has to stand in their head inside the Dáil, I will comply with the rules. But at the moment, anything I do, the only thing I do that doesn't suit the political parties is I might be driving it a bit too hard. And if they can't keep up with me, that's their trouble.
All right. We'll park that one, Michael, for the moment, because I want to talk to you about the book. Your first book was very successful, so obviously a second one beckoned.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Tara King, who's the ghostwriter who worked with me on this book. And, of course, all the people at Gill Publishers, Ellen Monelli, and all of the other people who work so hard and who have encouraged me, because to be honest with you, I would have never thought I would write a first book or a second book. And I'd remind you, and I don't want to be harpy on about it, but like when I was 10, 11 and 12, I couldn't write my name or I couldn't read anything on a sign or on anything. So to finish up writing a book, the one bit of encouragement I'd give to people who maybe can't read or can't write, that's not something that has to stick with you all the days of your life, and you can turn the little boat around if you work hard at it.
Mm. Now, in the book, you do admit to wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. You admit to stealing a tractor.
Oh, I did. I stole a tractor one time, and I have no denying in the world. And another funny thing, I'd steal it again if the situation was to come back. A very interesting story. It was a person in a certain place. They hired me. They had built a brand new house, and they wanted me to paint their house. And I wasn't too bad at the painting. And so they gave me the contract, we'll call it, of painting their house inside and out. But unusually enough, Pat, he asked me as well, he said, will you supply the paint? Now, I didn't have a fiver to my name, but I went to the local hardware man who I wrote about in the last book, who was a very nice man and who trusted me and knew that if I got something, I'd pay for it when I'd have the money. So I went to him and I got all the paint off of him. And I painted the man's house. And when you're painting a house for the first time, you see plaster, new plaster, it soaks a lot of paint. And you'd in two coats, we'll be talking about it. You have to put it on maybe a bit light at the start. And it could take three coats before to make a right job of it. And then timber doors, you had to undercoat them, top coat them. And like, it was a big enough job. And but I was there like that, like the story in the Dáil. I was there early in the morning, late at night. And I got it painted. But there was one thing he forgot about. He forgot to pay me. So that was fine. And I was wondering, what will I do? And I made contact with him, and there was no such thing as mobile phones. My mode of transport at the time was a bicycle, and he was a good bit away from me. So a few times I cycled back to him, and no money anywhere. And there was every excuse in the world. So the one thing that he had was, he had a lovely tractor. And the tractor was parked at the back of the house. So one day, God be good to my mother, I said to my mother, will you drive me to the man's house? And she said, I will. So she drove me to the house, and I knew he wasn't there. And I got up in his tractor, and it was a long drive to drive the tractor home to my own place, and I drove it home. When I landed home, I went to a phone box with 20 pence, and I rang the local guards in the place where this man was from. And I got talking to a very nice guard, and I told him exactly what I was after doing, that I was after taking this man's tractor, and I told him where it was. And
now, this is even more criminality, driving without tax and insurance.
That is the truth, yeah. Now that you remind me about it, yes, you're perfectly right. So, and here I was telling the guard the whole story, and he said, and why did you take it? And I told him why. And do you know what he said to me? Well, he said, I hope that he comes to me to complain about his tractor being stolen. So that was fine. I left maybe a day or two go by and I rang the man, and 'twas a little bit like the Unbelievables. I said to him, can you see where our tractor is parked outside the back of your house? And then I said, because you can't, because it's not there. And he was silent on the phone, and I said, I have your tractor. And he said, well, he said, I'll go to the guards. Oh, I said, please do, because I'm after going to them already. But I said, any time you want to pay me what you owe me, I'll give you back your tractor. But I said, if you don't pay me, I won't be in any hurry to give you back your tractor. And you know, from that day till now, I never heard another word from that man. I never got paid for the painting. He never got back his tractor. And that's fair justice. And you know, if we were to do that now, you'd probably go to jail. But that time, that was acceptable.
And this was the beginning right of the Healy Ray farm machinery empire.
That was it, yeah. A stolen tractor, yeah.
Now, there's another character in the book, a character that I remember hearing something of, a female, Big Bertha.
Oh yes, Big Bertha. Bertha was a lovely cow. She was from the Blackwater area, and Bertha lived an awful long time, and she was one of the most productive cows, I'd say, in the world. And she's actually still in existence, because her late owner Jerome, he actually got her stuffed. And there was hundreds of thousands of pounds at the time raised for charity, in particularly cancer. And so she did great work. And there was a great celebration one time when the Gay Byrne Show, Joe Duffy was the young man on the Gay Byrne Show, yeah, if you can remember. And he came down to a place called the Blackwater Tavern, O'Neill's Blackwater Tavern in Blackwater. And Bertha was brought into the pub, and there was a pint of Guinness put up in front of Bertha. And Teddy and Mary O'Neill, they're the proprietors of the pub. There was a great celebration. The programme was from there. And Big Bertha became one of the most famous cows in the Western world.
Because she was in the Guinness Book of Records as, yes, the oldest living cow of her species. What age was she when she finally died?
God, she was as old as Methuselah, and I think it was 39 calves.
49, she died, 39 calves.
Was it 39 calves, I think, yeah. It's all in the book, innit? You know, you have to buy the book to get the right story.
There's an interesting, just a very short chapter in the book about some Kerry people who did well in the New World.
Yes, people that I'm terribly proud of, number one, because of who they are and where they came from, and that's the O'Sullivan brothers. Now, they're from a place called Ballinskelligs, and I'd like to say hello to their mom, because she's hale and hearty, and she's a great woman held in high regard in South Kerry. But they started a company over in America called Nevelis. Now, anybody wondering where the word Nevelis came from, it's O'Sullivan backwards. And they started off, and if you're from Kerry and if you're in America, sure, the right way to start building is start building skyscrapers. And that's what they're doing to this day. And not only in New York, but all around America, they build skyscrapers. And for instance, when they were looking for the best builders in the world to go building the replacement building after, sadly, the Twin Towers being attacked and demolished, who did they get to build the building to replace the Twin Towers? Only the O'Sullivan brothers from Ballinskelligs. And we're all very proud of that, because to have young men rise out of South Kerry and go over to America and become some of the biggest building contractors in America, that's a great thing for us.
Now, speaking of Americans and a visiting American who got a slap.
Oh yes, I know what you're talking about. We had a pub, unfortunately now it's because of the trend in the times, it's closed now, but there was a bar called the Lou Bridge Bar. And this was at a time when pubs would be open from 10 o'clock in the morning, because there'd be people coming in and out. And this day, anyway, this young boy and young girl, they came into the pub, and they had jeans and sunglasses and tanned faces on them. And there was a man sitting down at the end of the counter, and his name was Jor the Manny. Everybody has a nickname, and his name was Jor the Manny. So Jor was sitting at the counter, and he was an elderly man, and he had his stick up on the counter, and he was sipping away at a little glass of Guinness. And the man behind the counter, his name was Matt. So Matt said to the two visitors, he said, what would you like to drink? And they said they'd have two Diet Cokes with piles of ice. So he gave them their two Diet Cokes, and they were having their little drink, and Matt went out the back room for something or the other. And when he was gone, the Yank leaned in behind the counter and he had his hand dipped inside the counter, and Jor jumped up off his stool. He caught his stick and he drew a belt at your man's hand, trying to hit him across the hand. But he just missed, and there was a big bang down on the counter, you know, right near the Yank's hand. And Matt came running out and he said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And the Yank said, "My goodness," he said, "I was just leaning in to get a bit of ice, a bit more ice." And Jor the Manny, he shouted out, "You bastard," he said, "you were trying to steal Matt's fags." And the Yank looked at them and he said, "I was not," he said, "I was trying to steal nothing." And they sipped away at their Diet Coke and they left.
And who were they?
That was fine. That night, a couple of locals came in and they said to Matt, "I suppose you won't talk to us at all tonight." And Matt said, "Why so? Are you a big shot now, I suppose, after the big visitors you had today?" And Matt said, "I had nobody today, only a couple of people here and there." And then he said, "Oh, there was visitors," he said. Jor the Manny nearly took the hand off one of the man. He was reaching in for more ice, and Jor accused him of trying to steal one of my fags. And who was the man? Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. So if Jor had been an inch or two longer, he could have broke the arm of Tom Cruise, accusing him wrongly of trying to steal a cigarette.
Well, we'll conclude with that story. The book is called A Listening Ear. It's out now. It's in hardback, a handsome book. It's priced at €17, and its author, independent DD for Kerry, Michael Healy-Ray.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show, Pat.